Okay, if you have your Bibles, please take them to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And once you've found your place, if you're able to stand, please do so in respect to God's word this morning. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." In verse 31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Father, for your great grace in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your word, for your spirit, and for the blood of Christ that changes lives. We're so thankful, Father, that you thought of us and that you sought us and you came all the way from heaven to go on a cross, to die for us. We're so thankful, dear God, that you did not give up on us. We thank you that you had compassion on us. And that while we're yet sinners, you died for us. You gave your life that we may live. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us live to your glory and not for self. Help us understand these words which you have given to us by the holy word of God. That we have been a redeemed people. A people, Father, that have been bought with a price that we may live a life seeking you. Not only for salvation, dear God, but now seeking to please you with the life that you've given us and also with the new man by the Spirit of God. Pray, Father, for anyone this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior. Please, dear God, I pray that you communicate your word to their hearts this morning. And I pray that you strengthen the flock. Help them, Lord, to grasp the theme, the word of God, the message, not only for the year, dear God, but for all eternity. We love you. Bless your word to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that know it diligently seek him." That word "diligently" in the context of our sermon today is the key word. Last week we spoke about if we ought to live for the glory of God, we ought to seek God by faith. And this morning we're going to be talking about seeking to do all that we do for the glory of God, to be sustained by faith. That means, in other words, to continue by faith. To continue to seek after God by faith. True faith, that is, continues to seek after God. And Paul the Apostle, as we said last week in the previous chapters, lived his life in such a way that he'd live to the glory of God for the sake of the gospel, and his life proved that. He said, "I became all things to all men." He gave some of his liberties away in order to reach others. He became all things to all men. But he also says, 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself shall be a castaway." Now this is talking about the great Paul the Apostle, the one that God used. He's speaking these words saying, if he wasn't disciplined enough to maintain this attitude, to live a life to the glory of God, he can be found at the judgment seat of Christ, a castaway, failed, rejected, perhaps not hearing those words Well done, my good and faithful servant. But we know at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Paul did finish his course that God had given him to do. As a matter of fact, he went all the way to his death, wanting to please God and live to God's glory. But Paul the Apostle, saying these words, indicates to you and me today that we can live a life as Christians and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, rejected. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenge to me. And I want to say, like Paul the Apostle, I want to be sustained to live my life to the glory of God. I want to continue on to the glory of God. Paul wanted to maintain, no doubt sustain, that mind or that thinking, where he'd live his life to the glory of God for the sake of the gospel. Now, how does this sustain by faith looks like? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning from verse 1, note it now. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I want you to know something, and I don't want you to be ignorant of it. What is it that you want us to know? That all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. I want you to notice the first place here. We ought to continue in God's presence. See, the cloud, or the pillar of cloud which God had given them, was an indication to them that this was God's presence to them to lead them in the way. Exodus chapter 12, beginning from verse 21, the Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And so the pillar of cloud to them was an indication that God would direct them in the way. Not only direct them in the way, but also he would communicate to them. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now, that was the way that God chose to communicate to them. Now, how does God communicate to us? How does God direct us and communicate to us? Well, we see that God does it today in our dispensation, meaning in our time, through his word. This is the way that God chooses to lead us in the way. As a matter of fact, in the Word of God, we find out that Jesus is the way. And that way that leads to the promised land, if you would, to eternal life. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, and the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised this promised land, if you would, or this eternal life, that we may seek it by faith, through Jesus Christ. And that life that God planned and prepared and promised was from the beginning, even before we were ever created. God had that perfect plan for us. God desires, no doubt, the best for you. God desires, no doubt, to continue to guide you in the way. And we see the first place that God guided them in the way of salvation. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them out of the hand of the Egyptians and the hand of Pharaoh. And there they were slaves. And no doubt we also spoke about that Egypt was a type of the world and a type of sin and the type of the enemy, which is Satan. And God delivers us from all these things and leading us to the promised land, wanting us to have the best for the glory of God. We see that they were led, but also we want to note that we are led today, I want to emphasize, not by a cloud, but by the Word of God. Leading us to salvation. Jesus being that way, or that door, if you would, or the dry land passing from death to life, from darkness to light. Jesus being that way, God made that way through Jesus Christ. Now, what is salvation, and why did we need salvation, and what does it mean to be saved? The reason why you and I need salvation is because we were born sinners. We weren't born perfect. We weren't born in such a way where we did not have any tendency to rebel against God. As a matter of fact, we were born with the tendency to rebel against God. And that's because of the fall of Adam and Eve that we inherited from them. And anyone born in Adam is dead in their sin and needs salvation. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus was just down from him, was just thrown back. What do you mean, born again? How can someone enter a second time in his mother's womb to be born? And what Jesus was saying to him, that he needed to be born of God, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, that came to bring life, because the first Adam brings death, but the second Adam brings life. And it's only through Christ we can have that new nature, and through Christ we can have redemption. It's through Christ we can pass, if you would, from bondage to life. And we can be free in Christ. We can have liberty in Christ, and no doubt leads us to eternal life. Every single one of us here today. I want to challenge you this morning. Has there come a moment in your life where you've actually fully, with all your heart, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying to you, have you said a prayer? I'm not saying to you today, have you gone and through the baptismal waters? I'm not saying to you today, if you just simply gone to a church. I'm saying to you today, have there been a moment in your life when you've seen yourself a sinner in need of a Savior? Has there been a moment in your life where you've been changed, transformed in your thinking? That happens overnight. And no doubt, a life that follows Christ and changed in our ways and habits and living is a lifetime. But has there been a moment where you've actually come to the knowledge of this sinner needs a Savior, this sinner needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and you yielded to that, and you had no strings attached, and you gave your will back in the hands of God to redeem you from your sin and to bring you out of bondage into His marvelous light, out of darkness into His glorious light? There needs to be that in your life. Question was asked to Jesus Christ, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Not through just a prayer, not through religious rituals, not through baptism, not through any church or anyone, not the Catholic Church, not even the Baptist Church. No church can save you but Jesus Christ. It was Him that bled on the cross. It was Him that went on the cross and died for your sin and my sin. Jesus Christ. He is that rock. He is the one that is able to save, sinless, to die for sinners. And have you put your faith in Him today? God desires to lead you into salvation, but into a relationship. The Bible says, Psalm 23, verse 1, David crying out, saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. No doubt that green pastures will be a place for the sheep or for the lamb, that they may have a dwelling place, a place where they can dwell, habitants, if you would, and habitation. And no doubt, Jesus is our dwelling place, amen? He is our dwelling place. He is the one that we reside in and in us, if you're saved, and if He's your shepherd leading you into salvation. And not only that, but He is that good food, the green pasture. He is the bread of life. He is the Word from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, note it now, and dwelt amongst us. What a wonderful thing. He maketh us to lie in green pastures, to have a dwelling place, to have good food, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And not only that, but to have a resting place. Rest for our souls, he goes on to say. He leadeth me beside still waters. Wow. Psalm 42, verse 1, the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Can I ask you something this morning? Do you have that thirst for God? Has Jesus Christ truly quench the thirst of your life, where you just want Him and nothing but Him? Have you come to that life that He is your shepherd, leading you by the Word, leading you in the way for His glory in all that you do? That needs to be a life that is led by God, sustained in His presence. And we see also the pillar of fire was a light to lead them in the night. We see there in Exodus 13, 21, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and to go by night. God will make His presence to them now at night by a pillar of fire. He will desire to them to make right decisions in the darkest times. He is that light. Jesus said to the woman, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a promise that you and I can claim. Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light to shine in our lives so we can grow in Christ. Did you know that the pillar of fire coming at night did not stop the moment they crossed over the Red Sea? The moment they were delivered from the hand of Pharaoh and they were in bondage. It didn't stop there. The light kept shining at night to direct them and guide them. And this is true for a believer. Salvation doesn't stop the moment we get saved. And we were saved positionally, no doubt about that. Anyone in Christ is a new creature now. We have to grow in Christ. And the light of God's word helps us do that. Not only the light of God's word, but the light of the Holy Spirit of God that uses the word of God to convict us of our errors, to convict us of our sins, if you would, that we may continue to have fellowship with God and continue to press forward with God to bring Him glory. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, beginning from verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help us get back on track when we're steered away. It's the light that shines. It's that glow, if you would. It's more than conscience. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, I guarantee you, when you do something wrong, if you don't get it right, you won't be able to sleep at night. He's the light of the night. He's the one that shows us our sin. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, 29, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The Holy Spirit of God uses the word of God to convict and bring to light our sin when we've done wrong as Christians. And God wants to lead us and continue to work in our lives that we may grow in Christ to bring glory to God. He's that fire. The Holy Spirit, Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is used to expose the dark, deceitful motive of the heart that Christians may continue to walk a life that's pleasing to Him. To live to the glory of God is just to be sustained by God's word, in His word, in the presence of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In His word, God's word, He leads us to make right decisions. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy ways unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Decisions in life, I'm telling you this morning, whatever decisions they are, good decisions or bad decisions leave a long-lasting effect in your life. And some decisions can't be retracted. Once you scramble that egg, you can't bring it back together. What's done is done. And what God wants for us by His Word and by His Spirit, the light that shines, is He wants you and I to make decisions that will glorify Him. And all that we do, how we live, how we act, how we think, the Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Decisions, the best decisions are guided by God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. A story was told about a father that was taking his family to a vacation. He came across a large sign on the road and the sign said, road closed, do not enter. The man proceeded around the sign because he was confident that he was saving time. His wife wasn't pleased with the idea, but there was nothing to stop this persistent warrior. After a few miles successfully navigating down the road, he began to be boasting about his wonderful discernment, and his proud smile quickly was changed into a humble, sweet, as he saw the bridge in front of him was washed out. He turned back. You couldn't hear anything in the car all the way back to the sign. He looked up, and at the back of that sign where he first started are the words, welcome back, stupid. And if we are not guided by the light of God's word and we begin to make decisions our own way, God will just say, come back. Don't be a fool and do it my way. Who in this room has realized that God's way is the best way? Amen? Okay, amen. God's way is the best way. And this book is a guide to us in that we make right decisions that please God, that bring glory to God. The Bible says in Psalm 19:8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, sustaining God's presence as we continue in God's word. We see that being sustained by God, to be in His presence, to be led by His word, and led by the light of the Holy Spirit, using the word of God to guide us, to lead us in a way that pleases Him for His glory. But I want you to see, secondly this morning, not only to continue in God's presence for the glory of God, but secondly to continue with God's pastor. See there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2 of our main text. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean, being baptized unto Moses? Now we know that the Greek word there means baptizo, means to be dipped or immersed or to be plunged. And we always associate perhaps this word when we read it in the Bible that it's water baptism. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks about being baptized by the Holy Spirit, by water. And in this case, not talking about water. As a matter of fact, water didn't touch them. They went through that dry land. But to be baptized unto Moses is to be identified with him. Remember when they passed over the sea, they sang the song of Moses. And Moses, no doubt, was a type of Christ. No, Moses was the one that would point to Christ. And he would be the shepherd that will lead him in the way. God desires, no doubt, to lead people in the way of truth, in the way of salvation, in the way of His word. And the way that God does that, by He sends an under-shepherd. And there's got to be an under-shepherd in your life leading you, a pastor, an under-shepherd that will encourage, you and challenge you to live to the glory of God. Now, you may at times not want to feel challenged and encouraged to live to the glory of God. You perhaps want to do some things that you want to do. But when you are challenged, it's profitable for your soul. I don't know about you, but I need to hear preaching from the Word of God maybe once a week. Not only the time I get down and have my devotions, oh, that's needful every day. But I'm telling you, I need that preaching from the Word of God to hit what I know, to hit me in the heart. And sometimes that hurts. 4 years in Bible college, the best time in the Bible college classes were the chapel times. Oh man, I'll hit the class running at times, knowing God was dealing in my soul. You need to walk out of these doors a bit shaken up by the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't start to shake you up. You know what's happening? You're resisting God. You're resisting His Word. The conviction that may happen, you're trying to just quench that, if you would. You're trying to get things in such a way where perhaps you're applying them to your own meaning. Can I just say this to you this morning? Let the Holy Spirit be your guiding God's Word, but let it convict you. Don't always try to sit down and be a scholar and work it out and say how things could have been done this way or that. Get under the Word of God. Let God take you to a place that He wants you to lead you. And He does it with an under-shepherd. A shepherd or a preacher that will challenge you. A shepherd that would get you to a place where you'll be convicted to do more for God. For His glory, to live the way He wants you to live. Paul the Apostle says this, follow me as I follow Christ. What he's trying to say is this, as I look to the Lord, as I live my life to the glory of God, I want you to do the same. Well, we don't follow Paul the Apostle to the point of sin. And no doubt Moses, when he struck that rock twice, God made it known to him. Man of God, and the under-shepherd is not a perfect shepherd. We have a perfect shepherd. It is a great shepherd. but at the same time is appointed in your life to challenge you to live to God's glory. Sometimes I tell people, please don't come to me when you don't like something that was said from the Word of God. Just go to God. He's the one that laid it on my heart. And sometimes I fear and tremble to preach some of the things that God lays on my heart to preach. But you know what? Some of you all give me great liberty just by the look of your faces to keep preaching on. And that just encourages me to get down on my face and say, you know what? It might not be a popular message. Not to you and not to me, but we all sure need it. Amen. We don't need the prophets of the age trying to tickle our ears and tell us what we need, what we want to hear. We need God with an under-shepherd, a preacher that will come our way. And we're going to soon have a treat in a few weeks' time. A man that's been in the ministry for 50 years. And still till now, he's preaching the Word of God. He's not going to come to tickle our ears. I just give him the liberty. I say, you go ahead and preach, amen. You go ahead and tell us what God has laid upon your heart. You need an under-shepherd for the preaching of the Word of God, but also for the teaching of the Word of God. Moses, no doubt, was a man that perhaps was used of God in the beginning when God called him out to lead the people. He said, who am I? Who am I? And God said to him, Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God promised that he would enable Moses and that he would help Moses do the things that he cannot do and speak the things that he cannot speak. The truth of the matter is, without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we have no message. We have no preaching. Preaching is the heralding of God's Word. Preaching what you've been taught by the Word of God. Encourage you need to live out what you've been taught by the Word of God. It's the proclaiming the Word of God. And no doubt in the Old Testament, as God had his pastor or shepherd to lead them out, God also has in the New Testament. God called out fishers of men, fishers of fish. And they stunk like fish. And they weren't that qualified, I tell you. But God doesn't call the qualified. I heard a man say that God qualifies the called. And they stunk like fish, but God let them out. I'll tell you why. Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you a pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Paul said to the church, I'm going to send Timothy, for he's like-minded. He naturally cares for you. What does that mean? There are some preachers and people out there that act like pastors, that all they care about is their own lifestyle. All they care about is the money and the dollars and this and that. I thank God for sending me a pastor that led by example, that no doubt that God called him out. He had a heart of God, and to be under him was a great privilege. No doubt about that. You know what got my attention with him? Firstly, that he taught the Word of God, and he preached the Word of God, and that's all I wanted to hear. I had enough of my religious jumbo talk at the Mass. I needed to hear from God, and he sure gave it to us. And second of all, he was a praying man. There's no doubt about that. He prayed, and he'd pray with us, and he'd pray for us, and he'll set the direction in prayer. But also, his life proved it. No doubt about that. He'd earn six figures, perhaps about quarter of a mil a year. With the IT experts that he had, was very rare. And God called him out. And he didn't care about the money. He didn't care about anything like that. He called to do what God called him to do. We're going to see that a pastor's role is to, number one, proclaim or teach the Word of God. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. The Bible says there, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or for the money's sake or for a livelihood. No, but of a ready mind. Notice what he says here. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Teaching or feeding the word to the flock. What's the purpose? Or if you would, what's the main purpose of that? The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning from verse 12. Let's back it up a little, verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the role of these under shepherds was to lead God's people and to teach them and to feed them. For what purpose? Note it in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. To help them mature in this thought. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. And for the work of the ministry, whatever we do from Grace Bible Baptist Church, we do it for the glory of God, to the glory of God. Whatever we minister, it's all to the glory of God and for the edification of the body of Christ, for the building up one another, serving others. And the Word of God sure challenges us to do that. Verse 13, till we come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God and of a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Note it now, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So his role is to feed the flock of God, but also to watch over the flock of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, that which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul encourages pastors to continue, watch over the sheep, and herald a warning when the sheep are simply in danger of a wolf that creeps in with a false teaching or false doctrine. And many a times you perhaps may change my style of exposing and bringing out, perhaps even at times going on a hobby horse. Maybe that's an indication to you that there's something going on that he's exposing and he's warning the flock not to dabbling. And that's all because of protecting. And many a times people think that the pastor's on an adventure on a hobby. I know some are, and I know sometimes it's easy to get in the flesh, but that's not Holy Spirit preaching, my friend. But most of the times, if a pastor of after God's heart is one that would make himself of no reputation, not winning an audience, but winning souls to Christ, not worried about what people think, and not fearful to expose people. I'm going to say this to you today. Yes, expose people by name. It's his job. You say, well, that's probably gossip. Not when it's protecting the saints. Let me say this to you so you'd be more passionate about it. Not when it's protecting one of our young ladies. Absolutely. Many times we're overwhelmed with the compassion that we may have some with those that are outsiders, perhaps some that are gone out of the way, but they'll bring their bad habits in, and some will creep in. There will be some creeps. And when the pastor hits a hard core, don't be too hard on him that he made a hard core. Maybe he was making it for some reason of protecting the flock, leading them. Feeding them, watching over them is leading them. But also, we see there in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they what? Watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'll tell you something here this morning. I'd rather die than start tickling your ears and telling you what you need to hear, what you want to hear, so you can love me. Are you going to be irritated with your godly parents? Absolutely. But they're watching for your soul. Are you going to be irritated with the preacher? Maybe all the time. I always said to Brother Simon, I said, before I step on your toes, God stamps on my foot. And I only need to tell you what God's laid on my heart and what God's dealt with me at times. We need it. Well, there's going to come a time where people are going to have itchy ears. And there is a time that we've come to that place. And they want prophets to come and tell them it's going to be all right. You can continue in your race. It'll be all right. No, it's not. You can't continue in your ways and prosper. You and I have to continue to live to the glory of God. And I guarantee you that will interfere with your plans. That will interfere with your lifestyle. Absolutely. And there's no doubt about that. But God has given an under-shepherd to encourage you and exhort you to that place. To feed you, but not only to feed you the Word of God, but by prayer. Notice what the Bible says there in Acts chapter 6. Beginning from verse 2, the Bible says, "And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves, note it now, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We need to be sustained to praying and in the ministry of the word. And many times when I close with a sermon, I'd say, who wants prayer? I don't say that for the sake of just saying it. I say that because I believe in prayer. I believe that God is able to help you in your needs. I believe God is able to sustain you when you have some challenges that come your way. And to have someone praying for you or interceding for you, I believe in that. And I beg you and I pray that you pray for me. But sometimes you may go up to your mentor, you go up to your parents and you say, I need you to pray specifically for this. And I need you to keep me accountable about it. And you need to get counsel from that person. No doubt prayer is a powerful thing. It's entreating God to help you with what you're going through. D.L. Moody said, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples to preach, but he taught them how to pray. So request for godly prayer. You say, well, I have to expose some of the things I'm struggling with. Praise the Lord. Go to James, if you would, please. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Beginning from verse 14 in James chapter 5, the Bible says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Notice what he says in verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias," or Uzziah, "was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit." In verse 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Wow. To humble yourself in a time of need, a time of crisis, perhaps a decision that would change your life. And that sometimes pride gets in the way. We can't even request prayer. We can't even go for prayer because pride gets in the way. And then not only by prayer, he leads also by pattern, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God," note it now, "whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." In other words, leading by example, whose faith follow. And I hope you would be very sensitive to the issue that your pastor is not Jesus Christ. He's going to get some things wrong. But the things that he does get right, and it should be that 95% of the time, you follow according to the Word of God. But I'm sure some of you have seen some things. Please forgive me. I guarantee you, I go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. What you see, I see. The Lord shows me. Pray for me. And at times, I'll probably come before you and ask for specific prayers at church if I'm struggling through something. But he ought to lead by example. And you ought to follow that example when he's leading right. Lead by example to follow by example. Continue to maintain, let me tell you and encourage you, the submission to godly authority, whether it be your pastor or your parents or your godly teachers. Sustain to continue in the presence of God by supporting your godly authority. God put them there. God put them there to lead you and direct you in the way. You might not like many decisions that they make, but if it's not heretical, graciously submit. Poor Moses. Read through the life of Moses and what he went through in that backside of the desert. But he loved them and he continued interceding for them. But the Bible says that it will be more profitable for you when you do, and you don't resist it. That you can encourage him by submitting. Sustained with God's pastors to be submit to godly authority. What's the purpose? To live for the glory of God? Not for our glory? How's that done? If we are sustained to live by faith, to continue in the Word of God and continue with the man of God that God has placed in your life, for the purpose of what? To the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I couldn't submit to someone that couldn't live their life to the glory of God. Couldn't do it. It'd be hard for me to do it. But we are encouraged to continue in God's presence, under His Word. Note it. Be teachable, always under the preaching, being convicted by God's Holy Spirit, to live a life that is pleasing to God, to the glory of God. The Bible says in closing, and we'll continue with the next 3 points tonight, in 1 John 3:18, I need to live out what I preach. There's no doubt about that. And you need to live out what you hear from the preaching of God's Word for the glory of God. Note this verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Deed and truth. Heard a man tell a story about an old Scottish woman who went from house to house in the old countryside selling thread, buttons and shoe strings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would simply toss a stick in the air, and wherever the stick landed, whether it be left or right, she would follow that way. One day she was tossing that stick in the air and it landed. And she grabbed that stick again and tossed it 7 more times again until a man noticed her and came up to her and she said, "Man, what do you keep tossing that stick in the air? Why don't you go on the first toss?" She said, "Oh, it keeps going to the left and I want to go right." There are times that we want to do our own thing. But to live to the glory of God, we must seek God by faith continually to bring glory to Him, even though it may conflict with what we want to do. He's our great shepherd, and He wants to lead us in His word by the light of the Holy Spirit. And He's put an under shepherd to continue to echo what's already in the word, not to add to it, but to echo what God has put in His word, that you and I may live a sustained life to bring glory to God. With all heads